Hey guys, it's Sean. I took a break from the podcast for just a bit, but I'm back starting this week with some special episodes that I'm calling Peace in Times of Uncertainty. And I'm bringing back the All-Stars. Some of my favorite past guests will be joining us for conversations about these unprecedented times we're living through and sharing their strategies and techniques for navigating them. In this episode, I chat with one of my very first guests on the show, healer Wilma Wong. She takes us through a really cool anxiety exercise that you'll want to try. Just make sure that you're not driving during that part of the episode. And if you are, try the exercise when you're better able to focus. I hope these episodes are impactful and that they remind you that we're all in this together. And now, here's my conversation with Wilma Wong. Hi, I'm Sean. I've always been curious about the answers to life's big questions. I thought it would be cool to seek some of those answers through conversations with others on a similar path. My intention with these conversations is to inspire you to think bigger, to challenge what you believe to be possible. I'd like to invite you to think outside the lines. All right, Wilma, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
Excellent.
Excellent?
Yeah, it's good. I'm really, really happy. I mean, we are in some very strange times, but it's what I'm seeing. There's always a positive with a negative with a positive, or challenge with support and support with challenge. And I think getting outside and walking around and seeing people walk around and no cars on the road and seeing the clean skies and the clean air and the lack of noise and no traffic has been incredible.
Really? Yeah, I agree. And I want to dive into a lot more of that. I think, so just to set some context, your episode, you've run the show twice before and both your episodes are really popular. And obviously I'm excited to welcome you back. So thank you for taking this time. All right, so just to give you a little bit of context, I'm doing this series of episodes for a few reasons. First of all, I want to kind of channel some of the energy that everyone's feeling around this virus situation and the effect that it's having on the world into something productive. And also to remind everybody that we're sharing this one common human experience and to kind of, I don't know, align around that in the most positive way possible. And then finally, just to share some tips and advice for anybody that might be struggling to cope. And so I know that you started to allude to this a second ago, but I'd love to hear more about how you're personally doing and just some of your thoughts on what's going on right now.
Well, to be honest, the first week that this started when we were in quarantine, I was doing a lot of shopping for food because my parents, I live with my parents and they're elderly and I didn't want to be responsible for getting them sick.
Yeah.
And so, so I did shopping, which is a very strange thing to do. And then I started calling all my friends up. I literally was on the phone for, I don't know, 8 hours. And I thought that was really interesting. And in retrospect, when I look back upon that day, I was like, oh, I'm actually, this is my way of coping. I'm checking in with people and staying active and talking and trying to figure out what is going on out there. And then on the other side of it, I was on the internet scouring ways of researching ways to combat viruses, whether it's from alternative ways, because we can't rely on a vaccine because that could be 18 months out and a cure. And that also puts us in a victim mentality, because if you're waiting around for someone bigger and better and smarter than you, then you're essentially putting yourself as a victim because you have everything at your fingertips right now. You could just as well be educated, more educated than the people out there on the front lines, just to scouring what else is out there. And I think we need that kind of hive mind.
I mean, there's so much to unpack there. And so I this is actually the reason that, like, you were literally the first person that I wanted to talk to, because I knew that you'd have this really cool insight. And I do want to have a quick disclaimer and say that, like, we're not dispensing medical advice here, because you did allude to some stuff earlier. I think you're speaking more to, like, preventative care that you can take care of yourself before you were to get anything, right? Is that kind of...
Exactly. I mean, we're not doing medicine. You got to go do the research, be knowledgeable, so that when you are sick, you can talk to your doctors and say, hey, well, what about this.
I think we're also talking about like just general health and well-being.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, but talk a little bit about like maybe some discoveries that you've made and things that you're doing to kind of take care of yourself physically.
Physically, well, I'm doing sauna every day.
But aren't you also sweating it out in a sauna too? Like you're releasing toxins in that
exactly.
scenario,
right? I'm releasing toxins and I'm trying to do like a sauna protocol in which you're actually, I'm even trying to release even more toxins by doing like a niacin flush. You can look all of this stuff up and to sweat even more. And we already know, like here's the thing. This people have been doing thermogenesis, like hot and cold, for centuries. You know, the Romans were doing hot baths. The Japanese have hot baths. People have been soaking in mineral pools. This is nothing new.
Yeah.
What's happening is I think we're going back to the old way that we didn't know about. Right. And we're like rediscovering them, but they've been around for a long time.
Which kind of like some of these alternative methods are things that you've been studying for quite some time, correct?
And because it's like engineering. It's to me, it's fascinating. Like, well, how can we be proactive in getting better at what we're doing? And so some of the things that are really great is, and I know this is controversial, the so-called medical medium. But see, if people haven't, one of the things is like I will be willing to try things like, okay, celery juice. You know how it went through its big phase. There was a big celery juice craze for a while there. You know, like I'm open to it. Like, oh, did your symptoms get better drinking celery juice?
I drink celery juice every single day.
Right. Yeah. And what have you noticed?
Just general well-being in terms of I need to knock on wood when I say this, but like I haven't really been sick in a while. I think just general like clarity, like mind function. I would say across the board, I just feel much better since I started doing it.
Right. Cause supposedly it, cleans the cells. And frankly, our cells are dirty. Cells are dirty because of pollution, because we're inhaling who knows what kind of chemicals. It's just our environment is toxic, and our body is doing the best it can do right now. But if it's overloaded and our liver's overloaded and our blood is kind of dirty from just pollution, then yeah, it's gonna have a harder time getting rid of and being the guard against the viruses, and our immune system being able to clean it all out. And the fact of it is, you know, I've been struggling, let's just say, with some sort of virus thing, like some weird shingles type thing that keeps coming back. And it's stress related and it's environmentally related. And you know what? Celery juice works. If you drink celery juice, it seems to work. Now, is it scientific? You know, unless there's a study done on it, it doesn't.
Ish.
You know, like, yeah, right? Well, are we waiting for a study? Or are you waiting to take, well, let me take a hold, let me take some responsibility for my health and say, okay, hey, like it actually works.
Yeah.
But there's no double-blind study for it. But and sometimes I think, we're waiting for the scientists to tell us what to do. But, you know, it's people, for example, I always give this example. Electricity and germs existed before we had scientists telling us that it existed.
Yeah.
It didn't suddenly become in existence because scientists told us that they existed. It was there. And then we slowly began to find the mechanisms for why it worked. But that's what we're keep waiting for.
I also like, though, what you said about, like, not waiting on the government or just, like, the whole waiting in general, because I don't know if or when the government is going to save us in this scenario. And I think it is smart to, like, we live in a time when we have access to more information than any time in history, right? And so I think that it is imperative that we take it upon ourselves to some extent to look after ourselves, right?
Yes.
And look after each other in ways that the government won't. Like, I was actually listening to another podcast today that was talking about how apparently it costs $2.5 billion, that's with a B, dollars for something to clear the FDA. So let's assume that there were significant, you know, strides,
discoveries.
Yeah. And it's like, how are these people even get that through to the masses? Like, I don't know the answer to that. But I think that, you know, to your point, we do live in this time when you can take it upon yourselves to do research. And maybe there's things that you're suggesting today that might not work for somebody. But I think the general conversation that we're not having right now, which is kind of weird, is like, I personally had to turn off the news because I can't take it. But they're not talking about like preventative care. They're
yes.
not, it's like mass hysteria, right? They're not saying like, hey, you can go outside and go for a run, or you can, you know what I mean? And they're focusing on like all the negativity, and it's, for me personally, it's too much. And so that's why I wanted to have some of these conversations about how we can be proactive instead of, you know, just reactive, because if we're just reactive in this scenario, it's going to be too late for most people.
Exactly. The yeah. other thing that I learned from Tiananmen Square is when when it was really going bad, and you wanted help from the State Department, they were the first people gone. They left the country. They're protecting their people. So the U.S. government took their people out of the State Department, and then you as a citizen were still in a country that was falling apart at that time. And that was a really good lesson as well. It's like, you don't wait around for the government to come save you. You really cannot. The Canadian government chartered an airplane to get 17 students out of this city in Nanjing, where we were studying in college. And there were many more Americans stuck there, but nobody came and helped us. So that was another lesson. Like, you need to take care of yourself and be smart and take action. And the Canadians had all this empty seats, and they gave it. Well, they didn't give it. We still had to pay, but they let us get on that airplane, and we all left the country together in that time of turmoil, and when things were very, very when we didn't know what was going on. And this situation kind of reminds me of that, in that, you know, information changes daily. We don't know what is real and what's not real. You know, is the National Guard coming? Are we under martial law? Are we going to be able to do this? What's happening here? Are people dying? Are people not dying? And we're very uncertain. So in this time of uncertainty, the best thing you can do is to begin to start having your routines.
Yeah.
That the new routines set up to keep you feeling safe, because safety is such a primal need for humans.
I love that so much, because I've taken it upon myself to do that, because to your point, like, so we're both in California, where there's all kinds of weird conversation going on about like what we should and shouldn't be doing, or can and can't be doing. And I think that you have to somehow figure out like how does your routine, to your point, like how can you make a routine in your life that works for you? And so like for me, every morning I'm getting up, I'm doing meditation and I'm doing an exercise, and I'm trying to go for a walk. And so like those are the things, like every single day I'm forcing myself to do those things. For a while I was also like peeking in the window of the CVS to see if they had toilet paper in stock yet. And like the little things like that. By the way, found some today, super excited. But like, I don't know. I agree with you, because like you have to have some form of routine in your life, because if you don't, we'll all go insane.
Yes. And it takes about a month to get used to a new routine.
Yeah.
And hopefully, well, I mean, we're looking at about a month right now to be in quarantine. So everybody start getting your routines together, write it down, and make it happen, because this is the new reality, and we could be here for a little bit. And I work with a lot of athletes, and they are freaking out because they can't go work out. So in their normal way. And I said, you have to be as creative as possible, and you got to keep moving, and do not let yourself mentally become so distraught, because your Olympic dreams, well, they might be postponing the Olympics, which I think they are, but at the time people were going, my gosh, I won't be able to train, and I'm not going to be ready, and they were just losing their minds. And some of them were talking about changing sports.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Very fascinating. And I had to get on Instagram and kind of yell at them, get moving right now.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So, like, I personally, like, so the first thing that I did on, like, day two, which was what, like, last week sometime after, like, the weekend had passed or whatever, and we were officially, like, working from home and all that stuff, I went on Amazon and bought a yoga mat, foam roller, and I subscribed to the Peloton app, which they're not sponsoring the show. I'm just going to go ahead and give them a plug because they're doing a 90-day, basically, like, free trial for anybody that signs up, and they have all kinds of cool meditation, HIIT classes. Basically, like, you can cast them to your TV or watch them on your phone, whatever you want to do. But I was like, I am not, because I'm not, like, in crazy shape, but I like to be in shape. And the idea of not being able to exercise in any capacity was starting to drive me nuts. And so I think, again, we live in a time where we have access to so much technology, right? And there are so many ways that you can continue to stay in shape. You don't have to go into a gym every day to get that same experience and keep your body in shape, right?
Right. Yeah. And so anyway, I've been really thinking about what good is coming out of all of this. And we never have challenge without support. And we never have support without challenge. And what I mean by that, when we feel overwhelmed by challenge, we need to take a look at who's supporting us. What is supporting us? So, like, in this moment of quarantine, like, if you feel cabin fever or like life is never going to be the same again, like, so, well, who's supporting you right now in terms of emotional support? And who has or what has been supportive? For some of my athletes, the ones who weren't ready, hey, an extra time, extra half year,
extra year. Totally.
They're those who were ready and are itching, you know, to retire or something, and they have to put on another year. Well, what good can come out of this? Can they be even faster or better? Or what is it that for them is been a positive for them?
Yeah, I think it's also important to keep things in perspective too, because, like, so for example, every day if I find myself suffering from the cabin fever or from, you know, starting to feel a little crazy, I try to stop and think about the things that the positives in this experience. So, like, for me, for example, I get to spend more time with my dog. I get to meditate every single day, no exception. Like, there's things that I get to do every day that I wasn't doing ordinarily, that I think the most of us that are quote unquote trapped, like, and you're not sick, think about the positives. Think about the things that you can do, right? Take action proactively. And I don't personally see enough people doing that. And so I think that's the other message that I want to try to get out there. It's like, really stop and count your blessings and figure out, like, this is happening to all of us for a reason, whether it's because we need to slow down or because we need to, you know, just take a moment and pause and look at our lives. I'm really trying to see it from that perspective. And I find that, like, when I refrain to that, it helps me immensely.
Yeah. And I think what's really beautiful is I live on a fairly busy street near the park, near Griffith Park. And I see people walking and hiking, a lot less driving. And it's wonderful. Like, there's all these people out there. Usually when we look down the street, not a single soul is walking.
I mean, I live next to Hollywood.
People are driving by as fast as they can.
Totally. I live next to Hollywood and Highland. And it shocks me how empty the streets are. I mean, it's a good thing, right? But it's so weird that, like, there's just a general sense of peace in the atmosphere that I've never experienced living here.
Yeah. And there's a great meme of people sitting pre-pandemic, everyone sitting indoors looking at their phones, and now they're out hiking and walking.
I saw that today. Was that you that posted that? I saw that.
It's going around, but it's true. I mean, literally, we drove to the mountains yesterday, and we tried to get away from people, and we drove far, far away. And usually it's our spot where nobody goes. And yesterday there were a ton of cars parked out there.
Interesting.
And it's fantastic. It's, to me, it's like, we're getting back to basics.
Yeah.
To what's really important in our lives, our family, our getting back in touch with nature, and the air is just cleaner, and people are learning alternative ways to boost their immune system. Families are going back to basics, playing games, talking to each other, eating. I like to go camping. And one of the reasons why I like to go camping is that what do you do at camping? You're basically just sitting there, eating, hiking, sitting around a fire, talking. That's it.
Totally. For me, I actually like to go. So Runyon is like my spot in LA that I like to go to. And I've had to find an alternative method of walking, just because it started to get crowded. And I'm trying to respect the idea of the social distancing, and just the idea that there's like so many people there just seems like completely antithetical to what we're trying to accomplish. So I've actually started exploring like new streets in my neighborhood that I'd never even been down before. And I was like, oh my God, like there's some gorgeous houses on the street. And it's interesting because I'm discovering things that I probably never would have, to be quite frank. I just walk straight to Runyon from my apartment and then do the hike and come home. You know what I mean? Like it's very routine for me. And so I love the idea that I'm getting to explore like new parts of my neighborhood. And I don't know, like I agree with you. There's something about back to basics that we haven't experienced, at least not in my lifetime and in a long, long time. And so there's something that there is some good here. I know that there's a lot of people that are, you know, getting sick, and it's a horrible situation. And I'm not trying to discount that, but for those of us that are well, and, you know, can use this time to really, again, be proactive and do life-changing things while we have the opportunity. Like, I don't know. There is a blessing in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride. But I think even Bill Gates wrote something that was really quite touching, and I was surprised by it. But he hit on every good point about what's going on out there and how we need to change. As I think we're killing our planet, and this has been an amazing reset. So I can't wait to see what's going to be on the other side of this.
Yeah, you know how much I love Danielle Laporte, and she was actually talking. She did like an Instagram live the other day, and she was talking about how like maybe this is Mother Earth's way of saying like forcing a reset upon us, which I thought was kind of profound because I hadn't literally looked at it from that perspective. But to your point about the cars and the pollution, and like I think they said that China saw like exponentially low levels of, you know, emissions and in pollution during their time of quarantine. And I don't know, like that can only be a good thing for the earth, right?
Yeah, I think even 9/11, they was in that very short time, the earth came back, and the earth is resilient, and just like humans are resilient, the earth will keep finding a way. It's just like in the stories of Venice having the waters clear and fish, you could see the fish and the dolphins were coming back and the swans were coming back. And wow, I mean, maybe the bees will come back with all of this. I don't know. Like, I don't know why we're killing the bees, but we are some way, somehow. We're killing our bugs some way, somehow. We don't really know what the mechanism is. But this is a great opportunity to this is unprecedented. Like, look at everywhere around the world. There is no transportation and people are not out in the streets. So it gives nature a chance to come back in its natural form. I think it's, to me, this is exciting.
Yeah. I want to shift the focus a little bit because we started to talk about some of this, but I know that you've done a lot of work around the mind and the body connection. And I want to talk a little bit about just general tips for like coping with stress and anxiety, because there is a level of that that comes with this, whether it's people that are struggling financially, whether it's people that are, again, just the stress of not knowing what's going to happen. I think there's so much uncertainty across the board right now. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on what people can do to better that in their lives.
So my newest love is havening. And havening is a new technique. Well, it's been around like last 10 years. It's a newer technique. And what it does is you basically are doing the most primal soothing technique and rubbing your arm, and you're doing it yourself. So I think this is the best thing. And in this time period when we can't really be touching people so much, you're basically soothing yourself with your own hands. So I think this is really appropriate for what we have going on right now. So you just cross your arms and you rub your arms up and down. And while you're doing that, you close your eyes and you count out loud from 1 to 20. And you, for example, you go to the beach and you imagine you're walking down the beach and you count with each step. Walking down the beach and you see your feet and your legs moving with each step, and you count out loud. And as you're counting out loud, you're continuing to stroke your arms. And I have seen, wow, like people who have phobias disappear in like 15 minutes. And I know that Justin Bieber is using this method now to calm it. I mean, after he went to rehab, he had a lot of anxiety from paparazzi. And this is his new coping mechanism. And the beauty of this is a psychosensory technique. But the beauty is you're doing it yourself. And we've already naturally been doing this for a long time. Then you just add the counting and going to a beautiful place like the woods or the beach. And then when you're done counting to 20, you open your eyes and you move them left and right, kind of like EMDR. And what it's doing is it's taking your eyes and bringing you into a more relaxed state. And you're going from a beta to an alpha to a delta just by darting your eyes back and forth. It's strange, but the eyes are key to a lot of neurological things. And just darting them back and forth seems to calm it down. Now, if you were working with me, I would say, you know, find the point where you feel uncomfortable and just stare at that point while you're darting, right after you're finished darting, your eyes back and forth, left and right, and look at where, okay, I feel uncomfortable right here. Let me just keep staring at that point where it's uncomfortable. And you stare at that point for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and you can actually visibly feel your body calming down.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to say this is good enough for Bieber. Anyone listening, it's good enough for you, right? what's so interesting about this is like we haven't really talked about this much personally, like off the podcast. But my anxiety has become exponentially worse, I would say, over the last like 2 years. And so any tip, like any technique that will help me cope with that, I'm super down for. So let's review this again. Take us through.
Why don't we just do this?
Yeah, let's do it. Right now. Okay, take us through.
Okay. So you're going to cross your arms, and then you're going to stroke your arms up and down, okay. Up and down. And I like to put it like, be gentle with yourself. You got to imagine this is your grandmother consoling you, or somebody kind, or mom, right? If you imagine, we as babies need to have somebody hold us. So it's like think about being like a baby and you're being cradled in somebody's arms and now they're stroking you. And because if we don't have this primal, we will fail to thrive. So like in Romania, where they had an orphanage and nobody carried the babies, they just died. So there is actually a primal need, biological need inside of us to be touched. And particularly in this time period, if nobody's touching you, please stroke your own arms. Give yourself that soothing touch that no one's going to give you. And this is real self-care. You can take care of this yourself. So go ahead. What we're going to do is you're going to stroke your arms up and down. And now you're going to count out loud with me, or you actually count out loud. Just walking on the beach. It's a beautiful sunny day. And with each step, you count one. Go ahead. 2, 3, 4. Feel the breeze. 5. Feel the sand in between your toes. 6. Feel the sun on your head. 7. Feel the water. 8. Feel that smile on your face as you're walking. 9. See your toes. 10. See your feet. 11. See your ankles as you're walking. 12. Feel the ground. 13. See the ground. 14. Hear the sounds around you. 15. See yourself moving your feet. 16. Keep walking. 17. Feel the beach. 18. You're at the beach. 19. Feel your toes and your feet and your ankles and your legs. 20. Now open your eyes and look right, look left. Keep your head still. Right, left. Look right, look left. And then close your eyes and hum happy birthday. And then take a deep breath, inhale and exhale. Sean, how do you feel?
I feel really good. My dog's looking at me like I'm a lunatic, but other than that, I feel really good.
Right?
Definitely so relaxed.
Right. And then if we had done this, I would say, okay, what was your anxiety now? 10. Yeah. And maybe your anxiety went down a couple points. Do it again. And why are we darting the eyes to get us into a different state? And then in terms of why are we humming? Because humming is also very soothing, right? Lullabies, humming. It also, when you're humming, you are relaxing your throat and you're relaxing your neck and you are turning off your systems of fight or flight. Because if you're fight or flight, you know, like you're not humming, you're running.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so there's these are just basic primal neurological things that's going to tell your body, hey, calm down, you're good. It's interesting, right? So the next part of havening, you can rub your hands. So go ahead, rub your hands, Sean. So you've seen people wringing their hands. We don't want to wring our hands. We want to be gentle with your hands, as if you have your parent holding your hand or a lover holding your hands and someone stroking it and the good feelings that it gives to your body for oxytocin and serotonin are just going to start happening. So
you can give this to yourself? You can release the oxytocin on your own?
Sure. Yeah.
Never knew
just,
that.
Just go ahead. Like, go ahead, stroke your hands as if someone, like I said, like a parent or a lover is stroking your hands.
Yeah, it's definitely very soothing. I've never done this before.
Yeah. So if you do that and close your eyes, we can do it again. Go, so let's just close your eyes. And this time you're walking in a beautiful forest and you're just going to take a step. We're going to count 20 steps. 1, you're in the forest. 2, you can hear the sound of the rustling pine trees. 3, the ground needles under your feet. 4, taking another step. 5, you see a stone. 6, you kick the stone. 7, you're walking among a bed of leaves. 8, you hear the rustle of the leaves. 9, you hear the wind blowing among the leaves. 10, it's a sunny day. 11, you feel the warmth on your face. 12, you feel just a general sense of well-being as you walk. 13, the movement of your feet. 14, the legs walking. 15, moving forward. 16, each step. 17. Your shoes. You see them move through the earth. 18. Moving steadily forward. 19. You see your next step. 20. And now you're done. So now you're going to open your eyes. Look right. Look left. Keep your head still. Look right. Look left. Look right. Look left. Close your eyes. Hum jingle bells or anything you want to. And then after you finish humming, take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. How do you feel?
I actually feel amazing. That one definitely felt, I don't know if I was just more relaxed this time, but it definitely felt more productive. I feel like super chill right now.
Yeah. The next one you can stroke your face, but you know, maybe we don't want to stroke our face in this time of coronavirus. So just keep doing it. Then go back to the arms and you're going to get better at this because you're going to feel like, oh, like I know how I make my body feel like I'm being hugged.
Yeah.
Right. We're hugging ourselves. Essentially and why it's called havening is you want to go to your place of haven. Well, like we're basically like, it's almost like a little bit of hypnosis, a little bit of self-hypnosis, but we can do all of this ourselves. We don't have to rely on somebody to take us there. We can take ourselves there, and we can take ourselves to a place of comfort, to the place of being safe, haven. And that's why they call it havening. And it's actually created by guys. I encourage everybody to look it up. They were created by, I think one of them was a dentist. And you can imagine the level of anxiety he was seeing every day from his patients.
So do you recommend this? First of all, thank you, because I love this technique. And I think it's super helpful and I think it's going to help a lot of people. Do you recommend this when you feel like a panic attack coming on or when you're in the midst of the throes of anxiety? Like at what point do you recommend this technique?
Yeah, if you have the wherewithal. But honestly, I would do it before you get to the panic attack, because panic attacks for a lot of people are accumulative. They're like accumulations of many, many experiences. And so they go back in time. So it didn't come. Now, if I work with sports people, you know, if suddenly they can't do something, it didn't happen overnight. It's an accumulation of poor performances over time. It could be 10 years over time, or it could be one. It's never one bad incident. Even like PTSD, what they do know now, it's like oftentimes, like even if you're in war, it didn't just happen at that wartime. It happened when you were 5. And that accumulation throughout your history as a human is, and then the big trauma happens. It's you have to unravel it all the way back in time, but it doesn't take that much time. And that's the crazy part is this technique I have seen. I've worked with athletes who I'm talking about, like elite athletes, swimmers on a national team, telling me I'm watching them dive. We're talking swimmers, not talking like high divers. We're talking of swimmers. That's not a very big drop. And they're telling me they're afraid of heights. And I go, well, no wonder you can't dive. No amount of coaching will get you to be a better diver because you're inherently afraid of heights. And within 15 minutes, their dive, you know, their fear is gone, the trauma, who would have thought?
You know, it's fascinating to me because I think the mind obviously is such a complex thing. And I think that like, it never ceases to amaze me when I hear stories like this, because I think that there's so much that we repress and there's so much that, you know, that blocks us from living the life that we want to, and could do a whole nother episode on all of that. I'm super grateful for all this, woman, because I think that, like, again, this is super helpful stuff. And my goal with this show has always been to kind of give people like tangible things that they can do to improve their lives, not just like these esoteric concepts. And I think that a lot of this is really stuff that people can like take away and utilize. So thank you for that. I want to talk a little bit about, before we wrap up, there's a couple things I want to address. So first of all, I want to talk about, like, for me personally, I know that I think I alluded to this a moment ago, but I've spent some time reflecting. And I want to know what kind of things are you reflecting on, and what have those reflections led you to?
When we have something like this, you know, quarantine, I think it's a gift to look inward. And a lot of the meditation that I've been doing lately for myself is it's not out there. It's all inside of us. And when we go inward and we come up against ourselves, we really sit down and like come up and just be and find the crazy within ourselves that we just like, oh, and an awareness of where we deflect and where we cope and where we are becoming unconscious of who we are and what we're doing, and to begin to be conscious of our habits, the way we speak, the way we deliver our messages to people, and how are we doing that on a daily basis. And when we are breaking the habit of being ourselves, like Dr. Joe Dispenza, and becoming more aware, you can heal so many things. Like, I've seen and heard people heal themselves of cancer and everything else just through the mind and surrendering to a new way of being. And I think this is a great time for this. It's like, maybe we shouldn't stay busy all the time during this quarantine time and do it like Jesus and have our 40 days and 40 nights in our home. We don't have to be in a desert. We're just at home and taking this time to meditate and pray and become more in tune with the earth, with our spirit, with other people. Even though we're home alone, I think the more we go inward, we go from someone to no one to everyone.
I love that. I think the word that stuck out in that for me was surrender. I feel like that's such a huge, concept in my life that I am always struggling with. And I think this is a really good time to address a lot of that. Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Finally, I know that a lot of people might be wondering what they can do to help, and I'm curious to know if you have any suggestions in terms of resources or ways that you know of that people can either give back or help some of those people that are in need right now.
Reach out to people. I've been basically calling a lot of people on my phone book that I haven't been calling, just haven't had time. And I found out one of my friends was sick, and she didn't know whether she has the virus or not. And I said, well, we're not waiting until you get super sick to do this. So dropped off some, you know, vitamins that she didn't have on hand, whatever she needed. And I left it at her door. And I've been checking in on her while she's, you know, been calling the doctor. And but she's been getting better, and she couldn't breathe too well, and the doctor said, you're still not sick enough. but she's getting better. So I think you got to reach out, because we don't know who's sick at home. And when you're sick at home, and Los Angeles has a lot of orphans. I like to call them orphans.
Totally.
Which is, they don't have family next to them. And I'm very aware of my orphan friends, and I reach out to them because I got a big family. So I've got family all around me right now. But those of my friends who have parents that live in another state, and they're really relying on us to be their family, reach out. I think if we can, on a small basis, do that, we're doing our best to help everybody out there. And whatever you can do, and provide them resources, and to just check in on people, check in on your elderly, check in on people, and let's be human again.
Yeah, I love that so much. A lot of that resonated with me just because my parents live in Northern California now, and my family is pretty much like spread throughout the state. My friends are spread throughout the country, and I have found that being more intentional with my connections, so like I'm FaceTiming some of my friends, and I'm, trying to call my parents a little more often, and like I don't know, I think that there's so much value in that you get out for yourself, but also like for those people that you're reaching out to, right? Well, God, I want to thank you so much for taking this time. I'm, of course, sending love and light to you and all of your loved ones. And yeah, I'm super grateful that you took this time today to talk with us, because I think there's a lot of value in this conversation. Remind us how we can connect with you, and maybe someone wants to reach out.
My Instagram is Healing with Wilma. I need to update my website, but it's wilmawong.com. But yeah, DM me on Healing with Wilma and IG, Instagram, and that's the best way to reach me.
For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.